Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good day to you. Thanks for joining here today with me. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love, and I am proposing to you that when we are alive to love, we recognize that all lesser values are potential BS. We're not here on this earth for the pursuit of BS. We're here for the pursuit of the beauty, the significance, the power of love. So this broadcast every week on this radio station and however else that you're receiving these broadcasts, every week I'm unpacking something about the eternal beauty, magnificence of love. I'm convinced that one of the least understood principles of human existence is love. But I'm also convinced that the most important values, the most important powers of the human existence is love. It's, to me, it's the least researched, the least grasped. It's the least unpacked. The conversations usually go a little bit shallow. But yet at the same time, it is the most valuable human practice, the most valuable human sustenance is love. So why are we so eager to be superficial about this wonderful and life-changing subject? I think because it is of the enormity of it. It is it's like looking at the mountain and saying, gosh, I'm no mountain climber. I'll let somebody else do that. It's time for all of us to climb this mountain. It's time for all of us to command something in us, to pull the sinews of our heart and our mind together and determine we're going to climb the mountain of the grasp and the beauty and the revelation, the finality of how love operates in the human condition. So that's why I'm here. This is now 1 year. 1 year that we've been doing the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. 1 year. And I have discovered that this inexhaustible subject of love gets even more inexhaustible if it were possible. It is eternal, because as God is love and love is God, God is eternal, so love is eternal. There is no way to finally discover it, and yet we must be about that discovery. So 1 year of this, and I'm just now starting to feel like we were starting to catch our stride. I hope you agree with that. So today's broadcast, I want to talk to you about the strength of love and the nuances of its strength. I want to discuss and unpack with you. There are five strengths of love that need to be, I think, talked about in ways that will help us grasp why and how love has strength. And first and foremost, I kind of sideswiped it just a few moments ago, and that is this. There is a perfect love. There is such a thing as perfect love. Rare? Yes, but it exists. It is there. Where is that perfect love? Well, I hope you know where that is. God is love. Love is God. And as God is love, that is the perfect love. That is love in perfection. That is love that has found its completeness. The full circumference of love is God. Now, hold that in your mind for just a moment, that there is a perfect love. It's important because when we sideswipe, as I did a moment ago, when we sideswipe a subject without considering it deeply, it can be remote from us. It can be elusive and then become a bit of a cliche. Let's take on for a moment the weight, the significance, the reality that there is such a thing as perfect love. So if there is a perfect love, and there is, what would that love look like in human terms, in human experience. Now, that's where I want to land on this first level of the strengths of love. There is a perfect love. Now, do you remember when, as a child, you were given a musical instrument or an athletic pursuit, or you took on some craft, or you took on cooking? Do you remember what your mentors told you about practice? Practice makes perfect. Now, let's apply that to the subject of love. Practice makes perfect. So there is, when we talk about a skill set, whether it's athletic, artistic, there is a perfection. There's something out there that does look like perfection. And what we tell every novice, every rookie, every child who takes on an artistic pursuit or an athletic pursuit, we tell them, now look, here's the football, here's the trumpet, here's your guitar, here's the piano, here's the basketball. Now, practice. Practice makes perfect. There are very few natural athletes. There are very few natural musicians, natural artists. And even those who are natural have discovered that they have to practice to hone that skill towards something that is more like perfection. So, God is love. Love is God. That is the perfection of love. Now, as it relates to us humans, Let me put it in the negative first. We must never, never give in to the sloppy, lazy notion of, well, nobody's love is perfect. That is lazy. It's sloppy. Of course nobody's perfect. Just like a piano player can say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that piano player, if they ever want that skill or that expression to shine, well, they're going to need to practice so that in the practice, they're aiming toward perfection. Practice makes perfect. So as we look at love and we recognize that there is a perfection and it is gigantic, it is enormous, but if we are to ever, ever find any success with the practice of love, we must never give in to the lazy notion that nobody's perfect with love. Well, let's get into the practice of love. Let's get into, as I've been saying now for over a year with this broadcast, we have an opportunity in front of us, the opportunity to infect our world with something that the world is starving for. I've said it 1,000 times. Mother Teresa says, there's more hunger for love than there is for bread. More hunger for love than there is for sustenance and food. She served the starving of Calcutta, India. She knew what physical starvation looked like, smelled like, felt like. It was wretched. It was horrible. It was nightmarish. And she recognized that even more wretched and horrible and nightmarish was the starvation for love. Now, she could have looked at it and said, oh, it's too enormous. It's too big. We'll never have perfect love. But she set out in her life to reach for the perfection of love so that the starving, loveless masses that she was looking at would always know somebody was practicing love. Somebody practiced toward perfection. Are you hearing me? There is a perfect love, and only by practice can we reach for it. I think it was last week I shared with you about the study of psychology and study of medicine. Every doctor in medicine is practicing. Though modern medicine is 4,000 to 5,000 years old, we recognize that as old as medicine is, it is still a practice. The research is going on, even as I speak, around the world by brilliant minds and by laboratories and physicians and think tanks that are digging deep into the mysteries of human physiology. Then they report those findings to hospitals and clinics and research groups so that out of those findings, then the practice of that medicine in real time with real patients is then a point of discovery, a point of recognizing, well, this works, or, oh my goodness, that doesn't work. This is a great medicine. This is an enormous breakthrough for healing. Or what we thought was a breakthrough isn't a breakthrough at all. So having said that, Last week I talked about psychology. Psychology, the search of a healthy psychology for the healing of humanity, is only about 200 years old. So the research and the practice of psychology is just an infant. It's brand new to the human experience. Now, I believe the practice of love is as old as human experience. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't have a single doubt in my mind, but what every human being for all of history has had some practice of love, whether good or bad, and out of that practice they've discovered the enormity or the horrible, frightening lack or loss of love. I'm starting here with the strength of love, and I'm telling you, number one, there is a perfect love. It is the love of God, and that love, though, is an invitation for every boy and girl, woman and man, to dive into the deep end of that practice for perfection. A band member in a local high school here used to say as well, when we say practice makes perfect, this band teacher said, no, I'm going to correct that. Perfect practice makes perfect. And that band director is absolutely right. Perfect practice. So you can practice something poorly and just keep coming up with a poor result. So you've got to discover, even in the practice, what is the perfect way to practice, how to run those scales, how to mix that paint for the canvas, how to sculpt. You're going to probably throw away more chunks of rock and clay than you actually keep for your sculptures, because you're going to learn the perfect practice, which makes perfect. So all of that is to say, in the strength of love, there is a perfect love. And we as human beings are being invited to the practice of it so that we may find something that resembles so much more than what it may have ever looked like before. Can you imagine a world where people have practiced love to the point where we have a strength of love like we've never known before? Well, I can imagine it, and I want to be a part of it. All right, so that's just number one. I've got four more descriptors of the strength of love to go through. The second is, second strength of love is that it is durable. It endures. There is a notion afoot that love is frail and that it falls and it rises, it falls and it rises. And I'll get to that later in the discussion today, but we have to see love as a power that is durable. It endures. It may feel like it's not. Boy, I know when you are practicing love and it seems like it's just exhausted, that moment is a moment to take a deep breath. And as again, I'll refer coming up here in a few moments. We can step back for a moment, but remember, love is strong. I almost said love is tough because, to me, there is no such thing as tough love, because love all by itself is tough. Love all by itself is tough. I don't have to put the descriptor of tough in front of it, because when it's love, love that is love that is love that is love, it's tough. It's durable. It's strong. And it may not feel like love for a moment, but I promise you, real love will rebound. So that's the second characteristic of the strength of love. And that's number three, leads me to number three. Love rebounds. Love comes back. It's irresistible. It's like gravity. What goes up must come down. It rebounds. When I was in high school, junior high, the old term of, you had a boyfriend, you had a girlfriend, and you broke up, and then you found a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend. The old term was, watch out for them. They're on the rebound. And there's some, conversation to be had about that. I've watched adults have rebound. A counselor friend of mine refers to people who are always picking the wrong partner, the wrong romantic choice, as having a broken picker. That's kind of the backside of rebound. But I'm talking here not about the rebound of romance, but the rebound that love just does not die. Love does not stay in the grave. Love that is love will come alive again. Just give it time. You know, Jesus said, they'll kill me. I'll be in the tomb for 3 days, but watch that door. Watch that rock. I'm coming out. I'm staging a jailbreak. Remember this, when your love has been beaten down, when your love has fallen, when your love has been injured, and maybe it seems like it's even dead, remember, love is so strong. Love rebounds. Love does not stay in the grave. Love that is love will never remain with a shovel full of dirt in its face. It'll blow that dirt off. It'll scratch and claw its way back up. And I want to say to somebody listening right now who feels like you don't have 1 centimeter, 1 ounce of strength to rebound, I promise you, you don't need the strength. Love by itself is a power. Love by itself is a nuclear core that when it lays there long enough, it will rest and it will rebound. So that's the third level of the strength of love. Number one, there was a perfect love. Practice gets us to that perfection. Number two, love in the strength of love. Love is durable. It endures. And as such, number three, it rebounds. It knows how to get up out of the grave. Number four, the strength of love. Now, this one is strategic, and I want you to hear this carefully, and it's in the word strategic. Love retreats strategically. Listen to that carefully. Love doesn't just retreat or run away. No. Love retreats strategically. There is a point at which you have to say it's time to take a step back. It's time to strategically pull away, to give myself a moment to rest. You know, to go back to the last point about rebound, perhaps you feel like your love's been buried, all right? Then rest. Give it some time to settle. Give your love the moments it needs to take a deep breath, because there is a strength that will come back after you when you rebound, that is a better kind of love, a better kind of strength of love that maybe you've never experienced before. Love retreats strategically. In the history of warfare, throughout human history, there have been so many different, and I tried to think of a few battles that might be a good illustration of this, but they're all, I think, if you look on battle strategy, war strategies, and retreat strategies, you'll find story after story after story where a wise general, a wise military leader would say, it's time to pull back, it's time to step away from the front line. It's time to give our troops a moment or two to regroup, to get healed, to lick our wounds, to heal our wounds, to see to it that our battle is re-examined. There comes a moment in time for all of us, whether it's in the strategy of war or the strategy of love, there just comes a time to retreat, and listen to this carefully, strategically. When you retreat strategically, you're admitting that it's time to rest. It's time to take a deep breath. When I have counseled as a pastor over the years, when I've counseled couples that have had an ugly divorce and they've walked away from their spouse, or there's just been an ugly split, I always tell couples, take a deep breath. Retreat strategically. Don't jump into another relationship too fast. You'll always regret running toward another relationship too rapidly. And yes, I know you're hurting. And yes, I know you're starving. And yes, I know you need love to come back. But I always tell couples, make sure your love comes back after a little bit of rest, so that you are coming back better and not bitter or worn out. And that leads me to the fifth and last descriptor of the strength of love. Love comes back better. Love comes back better. When we, in anything in life, through human existence, when we've learned how to retreat strategically, settle ourselves down, collect our emotions, collect our thoughts, collect our pains, even to the point of letting ourselves grieve a loss. That to me is so vital and important. When you've lost anything, whether it's a job or a friendship, a relationship, maybe your home has been taken away from you, maybe a career change out of your control just snapped away from you, there needs to be the allowance of grieving strategically. You have to grieve. Go through those stages of grief. Sometimes there's anger. Sometimes there's just this numb feeling. Sometimes there's constant crying. Sometimes there's this mixture of crying and anger and all of the above, because you are grieving. Everybody needs to learn how, when you've retreated strategically, to aim at the fifth strength of love, to come back better. But that requires patience. I'm going to come back better. Though I may have lost, though I may have slipped, though I may have fallen. And you know, even I'm talking about grief. So let's talk about the most raw reality of grief, and that is the loss of life of someone that you loved deeply and profoundly. I want to speak to those of you who've had a life partner you've lost, you know, during this time of pandemic, and there have been 200,000 deaths in the United States of America. I'm here in the last day of September of 2020. And when you've lost a loved one, you need to recognize the significance of that loss, first of all, as just that. It is significant. Don't shortchange your loss. But by the same token, to the depth and the degree that you have loved before, you will be able to love again when you recognize it's okay to take my time and come back better. I will love again. I will love again. It may not look like the love I had before, but I will love again. And the love that I carved out with a spouse or a child or a family member or even a pet, a dear pet, that love that I carved out there is exactly that. It's carved out. I've made a place in me for the experience of love. And that place in me was not carved out for nothing. That place in me was not managed out of just habit. It was carved out for a purpose. If I've loved before and I've loved deeply and wonderfully, then that same container still exists, and it's waiting for love to come back even better and more fulfilling as I go through life. I promise you, there is a need for patience in grief, however long it takes. Really, seriously, don't get in a rush with grief. But remember, your love will come back. It will come back better, and you'll be the better lover if you grieve well through it. So let me review my five layers of the strength. That's the word I'm looking for. Strength, the strength of love. Here it is, the strength of love. First of all, there is a perfect love. There is such a thing as a perfect love, and practice makes perfect. Number two, love is durable. It endures. Love has this capacity to endure. Number three, love rebounds. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. If we remain flexible, we will rebound. That rubber band will come back. It will snap back where it belongs. Number four, in the strength of love. Love knows how to strategically retreat. When exhausted, when wearied, when beat up, when broken, when wounded, there needs to come a strategic retreat. By the way, I forgot to say earlier, in the history of modern warfare, strategic retreats are often the basis upon which an army or a nation comes back and wins the greater war. When there have been strategic retreats where they can go back and re-examine strategy, re-examine their strengths and their weaknesses and how they may have failed just prior to that, then they can come back and win. Love knows how to strategically retreat. Know in yourself when it's time to just put it down a bit and be ready for number five. Love comes back better. Love comes back better, baby. I'm a witness to it. I know it to be true, and I'm living it in my life right now. Well, as we come up to the last 4 minutes of this broadcast, I want to return to something that I do every time. So yeah, you know, if you listen to me any length of time at all, you know I'm going to do it. So put away your distractions for just one moment. You don't have to give me 100% of, just don't stare at that radio or that iPad or that computer, but just give me a little more than the average attention and do this with me, will you? Take a deep breath. The most basic human exercise is breathing. You'll do yourself a favor to learn this. Here you go. When we breathe, we need to learn how to breathe deep down into the bottom of our lung. All right, are you ready? Give it a good inhale. Hold and exhale. Do it one more time. Inhale and hold it. And exhale. Yeah, there you go. That's just practice. You know, practice makes perfect. Do that all day long. I mean, in different places. If you're in the car, it's a great place when you're alone in the car. Breathe deep. Breathe in a rhythmic, beautiful way that gives yourself a solid sense of posture, a solid sense of being right there, all right? Now, I want to say those three mystical, magical, marvelous words, majestic, that in the human experience, songs and poems and sculptures and paintings and photos have been exercised toward these three words for all of human history. And here are those three words. I want you, whoever you are, to hear me say it. I love you. I don't have to know you, and I may know you, but what I know is this, is I'm alive to love, so whoever you are, I love you. I always tell people as well, when you can do this in real time and in real practice and in relationships, go ahead, make it awkward. Give somebody a few moments to look them right square in the eye. Make it weird. Love them in a way that they may not be accustomed to, and they may be like nervous, like bacon on a frying pan.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.